We're going to be looking today at verses 5 and 6 of chapter 1. Good to see you all. Glad you're here. And trust that now your heart is tuned to receive the word. But just before we look at verses 5 and 6 together, let's one more time pray. Father, we thank you so much today for your grace, for your marvelous, amazing grace. Help us, Lord, now to quiet our hearts and our minds. Help us now, Lord, to hear you as you speak to us through your word. Help us now, Lord, to obey you. Change us, Lord. Change us into your image. So, Father, help me to be nothing more than your vessel, your instrument. And Lord, I'll ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we saw the wonderful person of the gospel. And of course that wonderful person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his deity. We saw his humanity. We saw that he was the long-awaited Messiah, the long-awaited and promised Messiah. He was the Son of David. Friends, he is the gospel. He is the author and finisher of our faith. We saw the divine power and energy that raised Christ bodily from the dead is also the power that is resident in the gospel. Today, we're going to look at just a few of the blessings we receive when we trust Christ as our Savior and when we obey the gospel. So the gospel, don't forget, the gospel is so much more than a message to be told. It's so much more than a message to be believed. It is, but the gospel is Jesus Christ. So don't forget that. So look at verse 5 and 6 with me, please, this morning. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. So notice the first point with me, if you're following along on the outline that's in the back of the bulletin. From whom we received. Notice it says, by whom we have received. By whom we have received. By whom. This speaks, friend, of the channel through which God's blessings come to us. And the channel through which God's blessings come to us is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So this gospel of God, verse 1, that was promised by the prophets in the Old Testament, verse 2, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3 and 4. And it is him by whom these blessings come to us. And notice, by whom we have. This is in the Greek, this is in the aorist tense, and it reminds us of something that took place in the past. A past action. We have. We could also say who we have already. We have already. So, if you're a believer here today, my friends, you already have, look at the next word, received. By whom we have received. This word received means to take, to get a hold of. My friends, if you're a believer here today in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have already taken hold of. Now we're going to learn in a minute what we've taken hold of. But friends, let me say this. It's yours. It's there. Take hold of it. Use it. By whom we have received. Now notice, second point, what we have received. Grace and apostleship. By whom we have received grace. We've just been singing a bit about God's grace. And grace is a very simple definition of grace is the unmerited favor of God. Unmerited. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve anything that God gives us. It's the unmerited favor which God shows to guilty sinners. And friends, I want to say here from the pulpit that this grace is offered to all. But it is only efficacious, or it only affects the believer, the one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom ye have received grace. Please keep a mark there. We're going back to Romans, of course, but go ahead to Titus, the book of Titus. Titus is after 1 and 2 Timothy, before Hebrews. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So this wonderful grace of God, this wonderful unmerited favor of God that He bestows upon the sinner is available to all who would receive Him. This is the first mention of grace in the Epistle of Romans. This is the first time Paul mentions this most important and crucial aspect of the gospel. And what is it? God's amazing grace. Think about that. God's unmerited favor. First off, it flows from God. Second off, it is unmerited. We don't, I don't, you don't deserve it. That's why it's grace. It's unmerited. You can't work for it. You can't be good enough to get it. And you can't be bad enough to not have it made available to you. It's God's. Grace will be mentioned 24 times in the book of Romans. It's a wonderful word. It's a wonderful truth. It's a wonderful teaching. It's a wonderful thing to just sit down and meditate upon. Salvation, friends, salvation is a gift from God, wholly separate from any human effort or achievement. You can't work for God's grace. Please turn with me to a very familiar passage, Ephesians chapter 2. Most of you, many of you, all of you should be familiar with this verse. Many of you may have it memorized. For notice what it says, Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So friends, we are saved by grace. We don't deserve it. There's nothing we can do in and of ourselves to get it. It is totally a work of God's grace that I need to accept by faith. It's not of myself. It's a gift of God. And it's not of works. Could you imagine if we could work our way to heaven? If we could, we can't. But could you imagine the boasting? There's no boasting. There's no boasting because God saved us all. So we have nothing to boast in. If we're going to boast, we're going to boast in God. We're going to boast in the Lord Jesus. Now think about grace for a moment, friend. I deserve hell. A lot of times, you know, we just, when we hear the gospel message, when we present the gospel message, we hear preaching about hell, and we think, oh, what a terrible place. But so few times we hear that, you know what? I deserve to be there. I deserve hell. I deserve damnation. I deserve condemnation. I deserve God's wrath. I deserve death. And I deserve all of these for all of eternity. But God is gracious. God gave His Son, verses 3 and 4, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. But God gave His Son to be my Savior. Now, because God is gracious, I have forgiveness of sin. I have pardon. I have a righteousness that is not my own. I have a restored relationship with the Father. I have been redeemed. God's grace. This grace was manifested. This grace was made known to us in the Gospels. And we have received this grace from the Lord Jesus because He is full of grace. Look at John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then John gives us a little parenthetical thought here. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. But read that verse without that parenthetical thought for a moment. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus, because He is God, because He is the glorious God, He is full of grace and truth. We're not going to look at the word truth today because that is a subject for another message. But what is He full of? Grace. It goes on to explain in verse 15 how John was a witness of Him. But notice verse 16, and of His fullness. What is this fullness? Takes us back to verse 14. His being full. And the word there for full in the Greek means overflowing. Of His fullness have we all received and grace for grace. Now the word for here in the Greek, grace for grace. The word for here in the Greek means in addition to. So we have grace in addition to grace. We have grace and we have more grace. We go from grace to grace. And a lot of times we only associate, rightly so, but it's only part of the picture, we only associate God's grace with our salvation. And that's a huge part in our salvation. But God's grace is available to you if you're saved right now. God's unmerited favor. Right now. His grace is available. From and grace for grace. For the law, verse 17, was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace. We receive grace, and because we receive this grace, we also receive apostleship. It says in verse 5, for whom we have received grace and apostleship. Now, of course, this word apostleship carries the idea of being commissioned for the publication of the faith. Now, the 12 were commissioned in a unique way, of which Paul was one of them, a very unique way. But we have been commissioned in a much less official way. We are sent to the world with the gospel message which saved us. Because we have obeyed the gospel, because we have received God's grace, we can now be His apostle. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, we're called ambassadors. What is an ambassador? Someone who is a citizen of the United States, who's in another land and represents not only the administration, but represents the interests of the people of the United States. And you and I are Christ's ambassadors. You and I represent Him in this world. So, from whom did we receive this grace and apostleship from? We received it from Christ. And what we received was grace and apostleship. But why did we receive it? The latter part of verse 5. For obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. For obedience to the faith. Now, the phrase here, the faith, here it's not just salvational faith alone, which is a part of it, but it's the whole body of revealed truth. The faith. We have received this grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith. We've already received it. So it's much more than just the faith we need to trust Christ as our Savior, but it's the faith we need to live this Christian life. You know what we need? Childlike faith to trust Christ as our Savior. But then as we grow in grace and knowledge, we find out we need what? Truckloads of faith. Faith. You know, Jesus said something very interesting concerning His return to the earth. He says, when I come again, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find the faith? Will I find people who believe me? Will I find people who not only believe me, but believe my word? Will I find people who not only believe me and believe my word, but they're living for me? The faith. You know, there's a lot of things going on in our world today that rightly so cause us to fear. But we have been given grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith. Friends, true saving faith always, and may I underline that word always, always produces obedience and submission. Remember, let's review. Let's go back to message one, only 2 weeks ago. But we are servants. We are bond slaves. And what do we need to do as servants and slaves? We need to obey our master. This grace, this apostleship has been given to us for obedience to the faith. You know, Jesus said in John 14:15, the last night He was with His disciples in the upper room discourse, He said, John 14:15, if you love me, What's the rest of the verse? Keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Friends, is that hard to understand? Is that hard to understand? It's not. Is it hard to do? Yes. Is that hard to understand? No. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love equals obedience, period, end of sentence. Don't tell me you love Jesus. Show me you love Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't testify that you love Jesus. You should. But sometimes talk is cheap. Love equals obedience. Look at Romans 16. No, we didn't make it to the end of the book. That's going to take a while. Romans 16, verse 19. Notice what Paul says of the Roman believers. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. Isn't that awesome? They were known for their obedience. God has given you grace and apostleship for a specific reason, for obedience to the faith. How is your obedience? Are you obeying the faith, the whole body of truth? You say, Pastor, yeah, I'm saved. Amen. Great. I'm glad you're saved. But are you obeying Him? Are you reading His Word? Are you praying privately? Are you praying corporately? Are you meeting with your brothers and sisters in church? Are you sharing your faith? Are you leading your family? Are you leading your wife? Are you obeying your parents? The faith. I can't do it. Yes, you can. There is grace. There is overflowing grace. It flows like a river. Jump in and take that grace and believe God and act on it. Obedience to the faith among all nations. This grace and apostleship and obedience which flows out from a saved person's life, it is a life that is to be lived among all people. Do people know you're a Christian? Somebody said this. I don't know who said it, so I can't give them credit. If you were put on trial for your faith, for being a Christian, is there enough evidence? Would there be enough evidence to convict you? Out. Do people you know that you're a believer? Do they see your obedience to your master? Do they hear you speak of Him? Do they see you live for Him? That's why Jesus came. Not only to save us, but to make us His ambassadors. This world doesn't need more Republicans, more independents, more whatever. This world needs more Christians living out their faith among the people. We'll have less abortions. We'll have less broken homes. We'll have less problems. If we would. And maybe we'd even have revival. If we would do what God has already told us to do. We don't need something new. We need to do what we're told. Obedience. And this is for His name. This isn't for you to look good. This is for His glory alone. All these blessings come from the giver of all grace. our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these come from Him. That it is all for His glory. It is all about Him. A life lived in obedience brings honor and glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whatsoever ye do, whether ye eat or drink, do all what? To the glory of God. Everything. Everything I do. You go to work tomorrow morning. You go to work for the glory of God. When we sit down to eat, we eat to the glory of God. When we have recreation, we have recreation to the glory of God. When we share the gospel with somebody, we share the gospel to the glory of God. When we come to church, it's not coming to meet some obligation. It's coming to bring glory to God. I like what Pastor Andrew prayed. We get to. Not we have to. Some of you came to church this morning because you have to come. No. We get to come. God's grace. Oh, my Christian friend, think of all that He has done for you. Are you living an obedient life? Are you living a life in obedience to all because of all He's done for you? Remember the first message, bond servant. And remember, we look back in the Old Testament and a Jewish person who had a great debt that he could not pay, just like us who had great debts we could not pay. He worked for 6 years, and on the seventh year, he was given his freedom. But because he loved his master, he's already given his freedom. He's given his liberty. He has met the law's requirement. He can go free. His debt is paid. But because he loves his master, he says, I'm going to stay and serve my master for the rest of my life. And the master would take him to the doorpost. And with a hammer and an awl, he would bore a hole in his ear to show to all the world that I am a bond slave. He had a physical mark on his body that showed to all the world that I love my master. I have been given my freedom. I have been given my liberty. But I choose with my freedom and liberty to serve my master. Friends, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been given your freedom and liberty. Are you living for Him? Are you obedient to the faith? Or is your Christianity a Sunday thing that gets turned on at 1 minute to 10? And turned off whenever we're done? Are you obedient to the faith? Who receives this? Verse 6. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? The called of Jesus Christ. The Greek word here for called is the word kletos. And here, in verse 6, it's an adjective. It's a description. Okay? Here, the word describes the Christian. We are the called. The word indicates those who have already trusted Christ as their Savior. We have a word in the English. It's called the electorate. It describes those who already are registered to vote. Here, the word called describes the believer. Look at chapter 8, please. In verse 28, we see the same word, the same Greek word, the same English word, and also an adjective. And we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called. The called. Friends, let me say something. The Bible does teach that we are called by God. We do not come to Him on our own. Illustration, very beginning of the Bible, very first man. Adam sinned. And Adam's initial and first response, Adam and Eve's response, was to run and hide. But God said, Adam, where are you? God called. But here the word is an adjective describing the believer. Later in the book, we will look at the external and the effectual callings of God. But here the word is a descriptive word describing the believer. This wonderful grace of Jesus Christ, this wonderful grace of Jesus Christ is available to the whole world. But only those who are among the called, or only those who have responded to the message of the gospel, the true believer. It's available to all, but all don't have it. I do not believe, friends, I do not believe that the atonement is limited to only the gospel believer, or that Jesus died only for the elect. But I do believe the Bible teaches that the blessings of the atonement, such as this wonderful grace, it is only for the gospel believer. And if you're a gospel believer here, you've experienced that grace. But if you're a gospel believer here, are you living in that grace? Are you obedient to that grace? Have you received it and are you obedient to the faith? Friends, have you received this wonderful grace and apostleship? Have you believed the gospel and trusted Christ as your Savior? If not, why not? God's grace. You deserve an eternity in hell separated from God. You deserve that. I deserve that. But God is gracious. And He sent His Son to be our Savior. And if you would believe that and receive that, that alone, and have faith in His work alone, you will be saved. But that opens up for us the floodgates of God's grace. And friends, the longer I live, the more I believe that I need more and more and more of God's grace. Because I realize more and more who I am. And I need God's grace. So friends, if you're here today without Christ, why are you here without Him? If you are here with Christ, are you living a life of obedience to all you meet? Are you living a life of obedience to all you meet? Does your obedience bring honor and glory to His name? Or does your disobedience bring shame? By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Are you here with Christ or without Christ? I pray that you would leave here with Him. If you're here with Christ, are you obedient? Oh, I love Jesus. Amen.